Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time to join us this evening. I know that this is a right now word for you. Man, this is a word. This is a game changer right here. I know when you get a hold of this word, and you know, sometimes one of the biggest things that most people miss out is those simple things. It says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. So today we're going to expose some things to you, how things have been happening in your life, and give you an opportunity to act on them. Are you ready? Let's go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to make our confession in accordance to our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61:1. And it says it this way. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because it is the Lord who has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. You've sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give glory, we give honor, we give praise that is due your name. Father, we thank you that this is the day which you have made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father God, I decrease that you may increase. May you be glorified in all that's said and done today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all to you in Jesus' name. Father, right now, and I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word on the tablets of their hearts. Father, I'm expecting tonight that burdens will be removed, yokes will be destroyed, deaf ears will hear, blind eyes will see, the lame will walk, the mute will talk, all in the name of Jesus. And people will be healed, set free, delivered, and made whole as a result of this word tonight. May you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for joining us here at Ignite Depot on Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God and to help people to understand who God is and what his desire is for their lives. Now, last time we were talking about, man, knowing is half the battle. Knowing is half the battle. We begin talking about when you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand, you know, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you understand that you are the head and not the tail, above only, never again beneath, when you understand that you are in right relationship, right position with God, that you have the peace of God and you have peace with God, you understand that you're not only a son of God or a daughter of God, you are a child of God, you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and that everything that Jesus had, you had, and that you have the Holy Spirit, aka the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agent, living on the very inside of your spirit, which made your spirit a brand new spirit, and that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When you understand who you are and the authority that's been given to you to trample upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the works of the adversary, all the authority of the adversary, and how nothing by any means shall harm you, when you begin to operate in that authority, man, it is a game changer. And this is what we're going to call this. It is a game changer. We talked about last week at the end of the broadcast, how, you know, you got to put on the whole armor of God. And you know, I can tell you this, when I first, before I ever physically stepped into the pool, but I got to share this with you. I knew at the age of 16, I would be doing what I'm doing today. In fact, I went to my mom and dad and told them, you know, one day I'm going to be a preacher, but they didn't really, I'm 16 years young and they didn't know what to do with that. And our senior pastor didn't know what to do with that. So I just went back out and was doing the things I was doing, because no one knew what to do when somebody 16 tell you they're going to be a preacher. But fast forward a few years later, I have this encounter with God. I wasn't in the church. There was no soft music playing in the background, and there was no one saying, come to Jesus. There was none of that. I was actually at work on a shipping dock, and I've been talking to this young lady about I needed to get my life right, but I didn't know how to get my life right. And my intentions and motives of talking to her weren't 100% genuine, pure. But she was the church girl. But, what I found out was God will meet you right where you at. And I was walking away from her because I was having a problems with the relationship I was in at the time. And she said, do you want to lose that situation? I said, I don't know. I said, but I don't know what to do. So I'm walking away. And this is what I heard. I didn't hear an audible voice, but right on the inside, I heard this. I have a way out for you, but it's going to take a decision on your part. All I remember saying was, oh, okay. That's all I said. Oh, okay. But when I said that, it was like a 1,000-watt light bulb went off on the inside of me, but I still hadn't realized what had happened to me. And when I went home and I was telling the person I was in a relationship with at the time, like, hey, you know what? We going to church on Sunday and we going to do this. And she'd heard this before because I used to play football across the street from the church my father was associate pastor at. So she'd heard all this stuff before. And I would say it, but I hadn't made a move. But this time, this was going to be different. And man, I said it to her. And come Sunday, I got dress everything. Hey, let's go. We're going to church. And I went to church. And it wasn't until I went to church that I realized what had happened to me. And see, I received Jesus when I was 13, but I didn't know how to live that life. But see, when I got a little older and everything, and I had this moment, see, before I was at church and I came to them, when I was on that shipping dock, he took out the middleman. He came to me. And when he came to me, he offered me a way out. And how did he come? In the person of the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 16, how the Holy Spirit will convict the world of their sin. He came to me. And when he came to me, he didn't condemn me. He didn't judge me because I was living in sin. He didn't condemn me. He didn't judge me. You know what he did? He loved me. He spoke to me in a way that I could receive it. And that's what we purpose in our heart every week that we come on these broadcasts is to be able to minister to people in a way that they can receive it so that when they hear the word, they say, they'll be like I was, man, I could do that. Or, okay, I received that. But anyway, I found out that what had happened to me was I truly became born again, not just head knowledge. It was heart knowledge, and my old nature was removed from me, and he replaced it with a new nature with the Holy Spirit. Now Holy Spirit's on the inside of me. And so I'm hot on fire. I'm hot on fire. In fact, I'm so on fire for God that I told him a couple of days later, I said, you know what? I never want someone to be like I was, to be 13 years old, to have a knowledge of you and not know you. How did I know those words would lead me down the path that I would end up becoming a youth pastor, even though I didn't even know what a youth pastor was and everything. And years later, I even wrote a book about it called, Point of No Return, Making Kingdom Disciples. It's available on Amazon right now. You can go out there and check it out. Point of No Return, Making Kingdom Disciples by Milton L. Jones. But any point being is, it wasn't until I gave my life to the Lord. And when I surrendered my life to Jesus and I invited him unrestricted access to my heart, and said, he said, I got a way out for you. All I said was, okay. And that okay opened up a floodgate to where he came on the inside of my Holy Spirit, came on the inside of my spirit. And he replaced my old nature with a new nature. Well, okay, that sounds all great and fine, but why is that important? And what's going on right here, right now? What does it have to do with putting on the whole armor of God? Well, I'm sitting in a service. I'm going to a service and I'm going to see Creflo Dollar at one of the churches in Michigan at the time and everything. And when I'm sitting there in the congregation and I start, before Creflo Dollar even starts talking, I have this open vision and I'm wide awake. My eyes are wide open, but I can see that I can see it's me and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can, and well, I didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Christ at the time. And I'm at the, in the top loft of this building and I'm up there with him and I'm looking down and I see this desk and I see this big book. And then I see all these people sitting out in front and everything. And he says, this is what I called you to do. And I'm like, what do you mean? This is what I called you to do. He said, this is what I called you to do. And at that moment, I began to be able to not only read scripture, but I could understand what it is I was reading, but I didn't know why. I didn't even know how. I didn't know anything about the kingdom of God. I didn't know anything about the things of God. So I did what all good church boys do. I went to go see my father, who was a pastor. So I call and I'll go down and I see my father and I said, hey, you know what, daddy, this is what happened. And now I'm crying because see, somebody when I was at work earlier that week says, when are you going to answer your call as a minister? And I'm like, man, because then I told God, them people's crazy. I know, I seen how they were with my dad. I seen how they, man, I don't want nothing to do with it. And he says, my dad, when I go see my dad prayed with me, he cried with me and everything. And he said, look, if God is really calling you to preach, you will know exactly, you would know beyond a benefit of doubt, you will know. And I said, okay, praise God. I didn't know what that meant, but okay, I trust my father. So I go home. And I go to church the next Sunday and everything. And now by now I've already, you know, I've already been saved for a few months, almost a year. I've been reading and studying the word a year after year, day after day, well, month after month, day after day, week after week. I'm just eating it up like somebody who's in the candy store, just eating it to your little heart's content. And by this time, I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongue, which our church at that time did not teach. The church I was a member of, because I went to my friend's church to be able to receive that gift. And then, which is available to all, not just a few, all, anybody who has the faith to believe to receive it. And in the simplest thing you can do. But anyway, I go to the church. I mean, I'm in church. The senior pastor is not there, but the associate pastor is there. So we're in church and we're in service and everything. And while I'm sitting there and everything, you're asking, what does this have to do? I'm going to show you. I'm sitting there. And while I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, my legs start moving. And at that time, I knew if my legs start shaking and twitching, I already knew the next thing, tongues, it was coming out of my mouth. And he says, let's just sit quiet. And we just worship. And this is quiet. He says, because the Holy Spirit wants to say something. And man, let me tell you, all of a sudden I was like, all out loud. And I heard, you can hear the head snatch around. Like, what the heck? And he looked, he said, Brother Milton. And I'm like, I told my friend, I'm like, get the stuff. We about to get put out of church. Just get the stuff. We about to get put out of church. He said, come up here. Like, he going to make an open showing. He about to put us out the church. He about to put us out the church. So we go up. I go up front. He said, sit down here. Sit here in this chair. And I'm on the pulpit. And I'm sitting here. And I'm like, we about to get put out of church. So he turns back around. And he's trying to address the people to explain him. This is a manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues. And then he turns back to me. He says, man, he says, God said you had a word he gave to you earlier during the week. And I'm shaking my head because I don't know what that meant. And I said, no. And then he turned back around and he said, no, he said, he told you it was a word that he gave you earlier this week, a scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture was this scripture, Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18. And what it's talking about is to be strong in the Lord and put the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the strategies or the schemes of the devil. So I get up and my first message from the pulpit was, you got to get dressed before you get dressed. In other words, you got to get dressed spiritually before you get dressed physically. And the reason why I shared all that with you was twofold. One, it tells you God will meet you wherever you're open to, God will meet you there. But secondly, let you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, even from the foundation of the world. And no matter how long it took you to find it, no matter how long it took you to discover it, he never changes his mind about you. And thirdly, he made known beyond the benefit of the doubt that day that I was called to ministry, and this was the first message that I ever gave from a pulpit. It was called Get Dressed Before You Get Dressed. And it was talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. This is a game changer, because when you understand how to get dressed before you get dressed every single morning, when you come out of the door, you are already firmly stand against all the strategies of the devil. Now, guess what happened? After I shared with the congregation that message, this is what the associate pastor said. And I didn't tell anybody what he was about to say to me. He said, "You ask God to give you a sign that you was called to the ministry." He says, "This is your sign." And I knew, nobody else knew that but God. He hugged me, told me to go ahead and have my seat. And I announced then I was going to, I was accepting my call to ministry. And almost everybody else in the church knew that I was called to ministry except me. But the whole point in this is in this time, as this Babylonian system is falling, you got to understand the wiles, when you read this out of the King James Version, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's Ephesians 6, verse 11. Though that word wiles there means the tricks, it's the schemes. It's the methods. It's the strategy. The adversary is a strategist. He's methodical. He's legalistic. He's so legalistic that he wants to dot every I, cross every T. And anytime that you don't cross a T or dot an I, he will accuse you before the Father to try to disqualify you from receiving what it is God has available for you. Now, when you look at that word devil, the Greek word for the word devil is diablos. The word diablos means a false accuser. He's a devil. He's a slanderer. It's more of an adjective. It's the strategies of the accuser. The strategies or the schemes or the tricks or the methods of the slanderer. He's a slanderer. He's a false accuser. He's a liar. Man, we found an ox in John chapter 8:44. He is a lot. He's not only lies, but he is the father of lie. In fact, there is no truth in him whatsoever. He will take the truth and he will twist it to make it a lie. It is his nature. He is a liar. But if you don't understand the schemes, the tricks, the methods and strategies by which he's coming up against you, then you will take the bait and you will be deceived and you will give into delusions, what will bring about confusions. And see, the only thing needed for evil to triumph is for good men and women to say or do nothing. See, the only way he's going to be able to do that is for you who are called as citizens of the kingdom of God, who have the authority, delegated authority given to you by Lord Jesus Christ, who have authority to bind and to loose, who have authority to resist the devil, who have the authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to speak with new tongues, to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead. All those things are in you as a follower of Jesus. But if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, your adversary, the schemer, the liar, the false accuser, the slanderer will run rockshod over you. He will steal your identity. He will want to kill your purpose, and ultimately he wants to destroy your life. But Jesus said, "I came to give you life in abundance, to the full, until it overflows." So let's talk about what's the game changers. What are some of the methods by which he uses to cause you to lose your identity, lose your purpose, and destroy your life? Well, let's start with distractions. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Distractions. What is distraction? Distraction is the act of distracting, drawing apart, or separation. His whole goal in distraction is to bring about confusion. He wants to confuse, confusion of affairs. He wants to have disorder. He wants political distractions. He's going to use gender distractions. He's going to use male against females. He's going to use ageism. He's going to use racism. Anything he can do to get you so caught up and so confused about the truth, because he's going to be distracting you with all. And it's like a barrage. You know, the average person's attention span is 5 to 10 seconds. If you don't have a person's attention within the first 5 to 10 seconds, they would just scroll past your information. Same thing on podcasts. The average person listens to a podcast about 10 to 13 minutes. About 10 to 13 minutes after that, man, they move on to something else. Why? Because there's so many distractions. And the whole thing about the distraction is to crowd your mind. It's a crowding on the mind and calling your attention into so many different directions. You can't understand or know what the truth. You have to be intentional about knowing the truth, because the truth of God's word, is the only thing that will make you free. So what is one of the first schemes he uses, or strategy use? He uses distractions. What's the second thing, man? We're really going through this right now with the U.S. election, and even many things that's going on in the nation of Canada. You're talking about Russia, or Ukraine, or with the whole Israel and Palestine situation. There is propaganda. Propaganda. What's the whole purpose of the propaganda campaign? To get you to compromise. You know, people, you know, the body of Christ in Psalms 122 and Psalms 121, it talks about that the body of Christ is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the propaganda campaign that they got on the media and got on the news and got people coming against Israel and got people saying this about Israel. I don't know about you, but anybody ever come in my house and do some damage to my house, I'm coming back. I'm coming after you. I'm going to defend my house with every fiber of my being. I'm going to defend my loved ones. I'm going to not only come back to get, I'm not only going to defend my house, but I'm going to go back and take back everything that you try to steal from me. But see, when you use propaganda campaign, it's the whole purpose is to get you to compromise. Now, this information is especially biased or misleading. Now, if you check on the news or you check on some of these social platforms, a lot of the information is misleading. It's biased in nature. It's used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. The whole thing is it wants to have emotional manipulation. It will use lies. It's subjective and is a one-sided information. If you watch the news, depending on what channel you listen to, and all of them have their slight on things. But, you know, the thing of it, depending on what news channel you listen to, it is subjective. It's a one-sided information. You know, they're not above using lies. They're not above using emotion and manipulation. The whole thing is trying to get you to compromise. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why you have to study your word. Why do you have to study the word of God each and every day? Because Romans 12 2 says this way, don't be conformed or fashioned after this world's way of doing things, but be transformed. Being transformed how? By the total renewing of your mind, that you may be conformed to God's ways of doing things. When you conform to the world's ways of doing things, we talked about this last week. When you love the world, then the love of God's not on the inside. You don't have the love of God because they are polar opposites, the one to the other. The love of this world is talking about like I say, some people pray, my name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. But when you talk about the love of God, your focus is on God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of times what you have is the media will use it. The influencers will use it. You know, the social media influencers will use this. Celebrities will use it. Their whole goal is to use propaganda to get you to compromise, to the point is you will turn from one way of believing and follow after another, simply because somebody who you believe is a trusted source shares something that was polar opposite to what it is God said. And because you don't spend any time in the word of God, you are easily persuaded. The third way, we talked about distractions. We talked about propaganda campaigns. The third, one of the third options, or the third strategies that the adversary uses, he uses brainwashing. What? He uses brainwashing. How does he wants to brainwash you from following after the kingdom of God to get you to transition over to follow, going back and following after the kingdom of darkness, or get, turn yourself back over to this world's way of doing things. See, so many times, if you see, you have to understand this. If you're not follow chasing after the things of God, if you're not pursuing the things of God, by default, you are following the things of this world. You are being conformed or fashioned after the behaviors, the beliefs, the systems, the ideologies of this world. And how do they use it? Brainwashing. You know, somebody asked me one time, are you brainwashing? They accused me. You brainwashing those people who sit in your church. You brainwashing those people that you're sharing with us. I said, guiltiest charge. They said, you guilty? I said, guiltiest charge. What are you doing? I'm washing their brain, because it says the word washes. What am I doing? Washing all that fear, doubt, unbelief, lying, deception, manipulation, cheating, and stealing right out of your head. You are 100% guilty. We're getting all that fear, doubt, unbelief out of your head. And what are we replacing it with? The kingdom of God, God's way of thinking, rulers, and acting that will help you to live God, the God kind of life, in abundance to the full, till it overflows. You know what God's, what's not in the kingdom of God? God does not hate people. He hates sin, but he does not hate people. He loves people. Just like he, you know, if you're going to operate in the fear of God, you have to love what God loves and hate what God hates. He loves people. He hates sin. Why? Because sin will destroy you. And he doesn't want that. What is brainwashing? When the world is, when the adversary is using brainwashing, what is it? It's a systematic effort to persuade non-believers to accept a certain allegiance, a command, or a doctrine. It is more generally applied to any technique designed to manipulate human thought or action against the desire, will, knowledge of the individual. In other words, when there are people are trying to brainwash you, you see a lot of this going on in wartime. They'll try to brainwash you to try to do what? To try to persuade you to accept a certain allegiance, to try to persuade you to accept certain commands, and try to persuade you to receive certain doctrines. And it's more applied to those. It's a form of manipulating human thought or action. The goal of brainwashing is to manipulate, find this in abusive cases. When there's domestic abuse, that person is brainwashed there because they're being persuaded to accept a certain doctrine or belief or thought or action against their own desire, will, or knowledge of that individual. What do they do? They will use certain forms of brainwashing. Is they would desensitize you. They will expose you to the things, to the wrong things, so much until it changes the norm. That's the same thing that happened with same sex marriages, same sex relationships. That's exactly what happened years ago. You would have never seen that on TV. What did they do? They introduced it gradually. With the first show they did, it was a show called Will and Grace. It was a bubbly guy, but he was gay as all get out. Nothing against the guy, but I'm showing you how they want to desensitize you and expose you to the thing that you already know is not right, to expose you to it so much that you're so desensitized to the fact that you see it, it becomes the norm. Then the next thing was with the Ellen DeGeneres, when she kissed a female, and then they start seeping it in and seeping it in and seeping it in. And now almost every TV show, almost every commercial, almost every ad shows a heterosexual relationship, two females, lesbian relationships, two homosexual relationships, transgender relationships, to the point that they got more shows about RuPaul on than they have normal relationship shows, to show that, hey, you're so desensitized to it that you don't even see anything wrong with it anymore. That's called a form of brainwashing. Another form of brainwashing is jamming. What does jamming do? They take two contradictory images and leak it to something that's bad. They'll take, like, in the States, they'll use a picture of, like, Donald Trump, and they'll also use a picture of the North Korean leader, or Vladimir Putin from Russia, and they'll put both of them along, and they'll link it to something as bad. They'll be jamming. What the whole purpose is to get you, when you see that image, to automatically get you to think of something that is bad. When you see Vladimir Putin, to automatically get you to think something is bad. When you're seeing the leader of North Korea, to get you to automatically think something bad. But even though you can have people who they did not link it to, like, you know, for President Obama or President Biden, or Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, they will present them, but they, even though they may have done the exact same things, they will link it to something that is good, even though they did the exact same thing as the ones that they said they're using to jam you with to make you think something that's bad. Another thing that they use is conversion. They're using this in elementary schools, where they're saying, you know, hey, we're going to change the educational system so that, you know, even little Bobby and little Becky, they don't necessarily know that they're boys or girls right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to present, you know, we're going to try to convert them. We're going to try to, at a young age, it's easier to convert them when they're young than when they get older, when they have come to a knowledge of understanding. And hey, Bobby might have played with dolls with his sister and everything, but that doesn't mean Bobby wants to be a girl. Or Jill might have been a tomboy growing up, but that doesn't mean that she wants to be a boy. That just means that was what they did. But when they get older and to the point where they understand, then they can make educated decisions. But I've known of people who they was convinced because their child played. I know a case in particular, the little boy played with dolls once. Parents was convinced that he was supposed to be a girl. What you come to find out was the mother always wanted a girl, but she ended up having a boy. So what did she do? Boy, 6 years old. He don't know. She took him, had him go through a change and everything, start doing things to change and everything. She dressed him, even when he was a boy, she still dressed him as a girl, but not because that was his decision, but because she kept pressing it and pressing it and systematic effort to persuade him to believe and think something that at that time he was not able to push back because he didn't know the difference between the two. Same thing happens on the other side. You can have people trying to convince you that, you know, racism is right. You know, that the white man is superior to all other race, which is not true. And I mean, because, you know, you have one father and one mother. Your original father was Adam. Your original mother was Eve. And from them, everybody else came out. So in your every race, you got whites, you got blacks. You got some white in your black race, you got some black in your white race, and you got some Asian in this race, and you got some Mexican in there. But the whole point is to get you, the adversary's whole agenda is to get you in division against one another, get you fighting against one another, get you so deceived, get you so compromising, get you so brainwashed, get you to compromise, get you so distracted that you don't understand his whole aim and fame is to kill, to steal, and to destroy your life. But those are the three methods by which he's going to go about doing it. And then you also have, it comes down to this. It's a battle of ideologies. What is an ideology? A manner or content of thinking, characteristics of an individual or group. It's culture. Ideologies is a systematic body of concepts, especially about human life, our culture. It's a system of ideas. It is a system of beliefs, especially those which form a basis of a person's theories or policies. So you have distractions, you have propaganda, you have brainwashing. It all comes down to a battle of ideologies. Whose system of concepts and beliefs do you subscribe to the kingdom of God or to the kingdom of darkness? The adversary uses those tools to try to get you to turn from the things of God and follow after the things that are of this world. But God says, that's why I sent you as a body of believers to do what? To go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom and make disciples, teaching them to observe whatsoever it is Jesus has taught you and I. This is a game changer. But what has to happen before, you know, no matter how you started off, what do you need to do now? And at this point, if you've never accepted Jesus before as your Lord and Savior, man, this is a great opportunity to do so. But guess what? Even if you have and you know you have been living the right way, you know you've been swaying back and forth and you have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, man, now is a chance, time to get it right, because we're getting closer and closer to the end of this age. And how do you go about doing that? Man, it's the simplest thing you can do. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says that says the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what do you got to do? Man, pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Meaning if you're in your heart, say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for paying the sin debt for me. And right now, I believe I'm born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what do you do? Now that you're born again, now that you're in right relationship with God, now that you're right back in right position, now that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, what do you do next? Man, you got to get in the word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the love of God. Man, I know, and teach you about the kingdom of God. I know that Ignite Depot is such a place. And hey, you know what? If you want to come and join us every week, we're here at 6 p.m. Every week, we're here at 6 p.m. on Saturdays. Or you can join us here online, and we'll go line upon line, precept upon precept. Also, you know what? But I would highly suggest you find a church in your local area. And if you're having problems, man, send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. And we will help you to try to find a local church in your area. Also, if you have a prayer request, send that to info@ignitedepot.com, where we go Monday through Friday from 6:30 to 7, Monday through Friday, which will take your prayer request before the Lord and get an answer on your behalf. And lastly, if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, man, go to give@ignitedepot.com. That's give@ignitedepot.com. Man, that way you'll be able to sow a seed into the ministry so we can continue to take this work all around the world. We love you. God loves you. We love all people. It doesn't matter what state your life is in right now. We love people who are serving God. We love people who are not close to God. We love people who are far, far away from God. We don't judge people based off of their lifestyle. We just share the word of God with you each week and let you make a decision on how you're going to make the adjustments to your life. Now, in accordance with our word, on behalf of Pastor Juwan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.